Good evening, everyone, and welcome. This evening is an evening of songs of praise. The songs and hymns have been chosen by those of you here. Please feel free to stand or sit as you wish or feel able. There are some of you who have Bible readings that will be interspersed, and we'll sit quietly for a moment after the readings to reflect on them. And I will hopefully give you a little bit of a history of some of the writers and why they wrote the particular song or hymn. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus Christ, we greet you. Your hands still have holes in them. Your feet are wet from the dew. And with the memory of our names undimmed by 3 days of death, you meet us, risen from the grave. We fail to understand how, we puzzle at the reason why. But you have come, not to answer our questions, but to show us your face. You are alive, and the world can rejoice again. Alleluia. Amen. The year was 1912, and George Benard, an evangelist traveling through the Midwest of America, was heckled incessantly by some young people at a revival meeting in Michigan. Troubled by their disregard for the gospel, Benard turned to Scripture to reflect on the work of Christ on the cross. He later recalled, "I seemed to have a vision. I saw the Christ and the cross inseparable. The melody came easily, and the first verse was completed by Benard during a series of meetings in Michigan. The song, The Old Rugged Cross." Benard first sung the hymn with guitar accompaniment, and then a five-voice choir sang with organ and violin. We haven't got that tonight. Today, the church it was first sung in, which was once a hops barn, is owned by the non-profit Old Rugged Cross Foundation and welcomes thousands of people annually. The hymn quickly spread throughout the region and then across the world. 2 years after Benard sold the copyright to the song for a payment of $500, foregoing future royalties. And upon the renewal of the copyright 28 years later, he received a final payment of $5,000. We'll stand and sing together, The Old Rugged Cross. Thank you. Let's pray together. Great God, we thank you for this day. The day when we remember Jesus risen from the dead. We thank you for the women who rushed from the tomb, the first evangelists, to tell the men that Christ was risen. And we thank you for the many people throughout the ages who have followed your way of life joyfully. For the saints and martyrs, women and men, who have offered up their very lives so that your life abundant might become manifest. For your love and faithfulness, we will at all times praise you. We thank you for all those that chose the way of Jesus Christ in the midst of trial. They held out hope. In the midst of hatred, they kindled love. In the midst of persecutions, even in this place, they witnessed to your power. In the midst of despair, they clung to your promise. For your love and faithfulness, we will at all times praise you. And, O Lord, we thank you for the truth they passed on to us, that it is by giving that we shall receive. It is by becoming weak that we shall be strong. It is by loving others that we shall be loved. It is by offering ourselves that the kingdom will unfold. It is by dying that we shall inherit eternal life. Lord, give us the courage to follow your way of life. For your love and faithfulness, we will at all times praise you. Amen. Our next song is Celebrate Jesus, Celebrate, written by Gary Oliver. Gary Oliver was a musical director from a fairly young child himself at Truth Church in Texas. He felt an affinity for children, having grown up singing in church as a young child. And he started out as an associate music director at Truth Church when he was 13 years old. By the early 1980s, Gary was in his early 20s and serving as the music director of the same church. And one day, while preparing an Easter musical, the director of the children's department approached Gary with a compelling problem, one shared by churches around the world. She said to him, "I think that all the songs about Easter are a little frightening and morbid for the kids. Most Easter songs are slow and they talk about death and about Jesus dying on a cross. It's all kind of weepy. I would love to have something that would help the children understand that we can celebrate his death, burial, and resurrection." As she spoke, Gary heard the words, "Celebrate Jesus," in his head. "If you'll give me 30 minutes, Gary told her, "I'll write you a song." So after 30 minutes, he'd already written the song. I thought about, what are we trying to get them to understand? That we're celebrating Jesus' resurrection. It wasn't just that he died, it was that he died and rose. A lot of people die, but nobody else got up. I really wanted the children to understand that Easter celebrates Jesus and that the reason we celebrate him is not just because he died, but because he lives and he rose again. I sat down at the piano and I sang the song the way I wrote it. I never fussed with the music. I never fussed with the lyrics. Literally, the whole A and B part of that song came in less than 30 minutes.
Okay.
Our next hymn is, "It is a Thing Most Wonderful." William Walsham Howell, known as Walsham Howell, was a solicitor's son and was born in Shrewsbury in 1823, and he was ordained in 1846. He became a suffragan bishop of East London as Bishop of Bedford, and in then 1988 he became the first Bishop of Wakefield, which was then a new diocese. He wrote at least 60 hymns. His hymns are marked by pure rhythm as well as directness and simplicity, showing a comprehensive grasp of the subject and throwing unexpected light on their themes with images interwoven with tender thoughts. Though he is seldom thought of as a poet, his hymns have outlived his other literary works, and he is one of the most effective Victorian hymn writers. One other hymn that you'll particularly know is "For All the Saints Who From Their Labours Rest." And of course, the one we're about to sing, "It Is a Thing Most Wonderful." He wrote it when he was rector of Whittington in Shropshire, but it was not published until somewhat later in 1872. The first version was 5 verses in length, but within 15 years, he had added 2 more verses to the original. Through his hymn, Howe is trying to reveal the love of God by looking at the cross through the eyes of a child. And in the 1872 draft, he placed the text, 1 John 4:10, above the hymn. "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins."
It is a thing
Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 10. Jesus has risen. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Our next song is "What Kind of Love Is This?" written by Brian Haworth. He's a British Christian singer-songwriter, guitarist, and pioneer of Jesus music in mainstream rock. He's released some 22 albums and several singles since the 1970s, as well as guesting as guitarist on many other albums by rock and folk artists. He continues to tour the UK, appearing mostly at smaller venues and in prisons. He's also appeared 3 times at the UK Greenbelt Festival, and his chosen instruments are guitar and mandolin. He's recorded sessions with John Peel on the John Peel Show on Radio 1 in 1974, 75, and 76, and made 2 television appearances on BBC 2, The Old Grey Whistle Test, amongst others. Together with his wife, Sally, Haworth has engaged in extensive musical and evangelistic work in prison settings. John Ingham from Sounds magazine wrote, "If we are to have God rock, then let it be Brian Haworth. He thinks of the music foremost. You owe yourself a listen." Not that this is a particular rock song, but this is one of his songs.
What kind of love is this? Thank you.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 4. Since you have been brought back to true life with Christ, you must look for the things that are in heaven, where Christ is, sitting at God's right hand. Let your thoughts be on heavenly things, not on the things that are on the earth. Because you have died, and now the life you have is hidden with Christ in God. But when Christ is revealed, and he is your life, you too will be revealed in all your glory with him.
Our next hymn is Low in the Grave He Lay. Robert Lowry was born in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania in 1826. He was an American professor of literature, a Baptist minister, and composer of gospel hymns. He wrote a number of hymns with members of his congregation. He was responsible for about 500 compositions, including Nothing But the Blood, Christ Arose, Shall We Gather at the River? And How Can We Keep From Singing, which was made famous more recently by Enya. He also wrote the music and refrain for Marching to Zion, written by Isaac Watts. Despite his success as a hymn writer, it was as a preacher that Lowry would have preferred to be recognized. He once stated, "Music for me has been a side issue. I would much rather preach a gospel sermon to an appreciative audience than write a hymn. I have always looked upon myself as a preacher and felt somewhat downcast when I began to be known more as a composer. However, it is as a hymn writer that he remains known." During the Easter session of season of 1874, while having his devotions one evening, he was impressed with the events associated with Christ's resurrection, especially those words recorded in Luke, "He is not here, but is risen." So Robert Lowry found himself seated at the little pump organ in the parlor of his home, and in a very spontaneous fashion, the words and the music of Christ Arose gave expression to the thoughts that had been uppermost in his mind. The hymn was published the following year and has been an inspirational favorite with God's people ever since.
Thank you.
Corinthians 5, verses 6 to 8. You must know how even a small amount of yeast is enough to leaven all the dough, so get rid of all the old yeast and make yourselves into a completely new batch of bread, unleavened as you are meant to be. Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Let us celebrate the feast. Then by getting rid of all the old yeast of evil and wickedness, having only unleavened bread of sincerity and truth.
Our next hymn is called It Is Well With My Soul, or the first line is When Peace Like a River Attendeth My Way. It's a hymn written by Horatio Spafford, and the music was composed by Philip Bliss. It was first published in a book by Sankey and Bliss in 1876. The hymn was written after traumatic events in Spafford's life. The first was the death of his son at the age of 2 and the great Chicago fire of 1871, which ruined him financially. And when Moody and his music associate, Ira Sankey, left for Great Britain for an evangelistic campaign, Spafford decided to lift the spirits of his family by taking them on vacation to Europe. He also planned to assist in the Moody Sankey meetings there. In November 1873, Spafford was detained by urgent business, but he sent his wife and his 4 daughters as scheduled on the SS Wilde Havre, planning to join them soon. Halfway across the Atlantic, the ship was struck by an English vessel and sank in 12 minutes. All 4 of the Spafford daughters were among the 226 who were drowned. Mrs. Spafford was among the few who were miraculously saved. Later, Spafford stood for hours on the deck of the ship, carrying him to rejoin his sorrowing wife in Cardiff, Wales. And when the ship passed the appropriate place where his precious daughters were drowned, Spafford received sustaining comfort from God that enabled him to write the words of his hymn. When sorrows like sea billows roll, it is well with my soul. Bliss called his tune Wilde Havre from the name of the stricken vessel. The Spaffords later had 3 children, but in February 1888, their son Horatio died at the age of 4 of scarlet fever.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow and sea billows roll, whatever that Christ hath reigned.
my soul.
With my soul. Dwell,
it is well.
This glorious thought, my sin not in part but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well
with my soul.
With my soul, it is well.
It is well with my soul.
For me, be it Christ hence to live. If joy.
Cornelius and his household. You must have heard about the recent happenings in Judea, about Jesus of Nazareth and how he began in Galilee after John had been preaching baptism. God had anointed him with the Holy Spirit and with power. And because God was with him, Jesus went about doing good and curing all who had fallen into the power of the devil. Now I and those with me can witness to everything he did throughout the countryside of Judea and in Jerusalem itself, and also to the fact that they killed him by hanging him on a tree. Yet 3 days afterwards, God raised him to life and allowed him to be seen, not by the whole people, but only by certain witnesses God had chosen beforehand. Now we are those witnesses. We have eaten and drunk with him after his resurrection from the dead. And he has ordered us to proclaim this to his people and tell them that God has appointed him to judge everyone, alive or dead. It is to him that all the prophets bear this witness, that all who believe in Jesus will have their sins forgiven through his name.
What a mess. What a mess. After a day of horror and blasphemy and death. Now this. A tomb that's empty. We lost you on Friday and now we've lost you again. We couldn't eventually cope with death. We could eventually cope with death, but empty tombs. We've lost you once more. There is no rejoicing here, just confusion. Confusion about the trials and the long dying and confusion now. No body, no grave to go to, no place to weep. We've lost a friend and we don't know where he is. He died on Friday and now? Well, now there is not even that, not even a death, just a vacant, empty, hollow tomb. And that leaves us, well, that leaves us in fear. Dare we believe the rumors? Dare we be the first to trust what no one has ever dared to trust before? Dare we believe his predictions that love returns? Only by seeing his hands, says Thomas. Only by holding him, says his mother. Only by feeding his lambs, says Peter. Only by eating with him, say his disciples. Only by anointing his feet, says Mary of Bethany. Only by calling him Lord, says Mary of Magdala. But who is that? Eating with us in the room, going ahead to Galilee, walking on the road, sitting, cooking on the beach, standing, waiting in the garden. My Lord and my God. Our next song is There's a Place Where the Streets Shine, written by Paul Oakley, who's a Christian songwriter. He writes this: the main focus of my writing comes from my walk with God. I've seen God, and I don't want to write about anything else. Like Isaiah, I felt like I'd had a radical encounter with God. And I'm ruined, I'm undone. When you've seen God, what else is there to write about? He is everything. He's awesome. And he's jealous for his glory in every aspect of our lives. So whatever I go through, I walk through it with him. And I hope that comes out in the songs. Music, as well as being a precious gift from God, is for him as well. There's almost a sense in which music itself is more complete when it's to him and for him. That's not to say that there isn't a place for entertainment or performance songs, because it all points to a creator and brings glory to God. I want God at the center of what I'm saying and writing, because he's totally changed my life.
There's a place where the streets shine with the glory of the Lamb. There's a way we can go there, we can live there beyond time. Because of you, because of you. No more pain. pain, no more sadness, no more suffering, no more tears, no more sin, no more sickness, no injustice, no more death, because of you, because of you, because of your love, because of your blood, all our sins are washed away, and we can live together. Now we have this hope because of you. Because of you, it's joy everlasting. There is gladness, there is peace. There is wine ever flowing. There's a wedding, there's a feast. Because of you, because of you, because of your love, because of your city of our God, because of you.
All our sins are washed away,
and we can live forever in the city of, because of you. We'll see you face to face, and we can dance together in the city of our God, because of you. There is joy everlasting, there is gladness, there is peace, there is wine ever flowing, there's a wedding, there's a feast, because of you, Jesus, because of you, because of your love, because of your blood. Ooh.
Sins are washed away.
Because of you, oh, we'll see you face to face,
and we can dance together in the city of our God,
because of you,
oh, we'll see you face to face, and we will dance together in the city of our God,
because of you.
Favorite story. It's about the life of a man who lived as most holy, from the right hand of the Father to the crib he descended, to grow up and give up so brokenness gets mended, so we can be part of the family as God's adopted son or daughter. So let me tell you about Jesus from the journey of water. First mate John is cousin, likes locust, honey helix, proper spiritual-like and a bit of an eccentric. He clears his throat and pipes up loud, turn around to the one whose love knows no bounds. So some got baptized, but see, John was just sent as the warm-up act to proclaim the main event. Enter Jesus, who John baptizes. Straight out of the water, Jesus arises, and with a voice from the clouds, God fills us in. This is my son, I'm chuffed to bits with him. Next, he's at this wedding, and the red wine's run dry. To be fair, it was a bit embarrassing for the father of the bride. So Mary, the mother, gives Jesus the hintage, and from water to wine, he miracles a vintage. The guests are loving it, they're having a blast. They couldn't believe they saved the best wine to last. A bit later on the boat, it's chucking it down. A storm out at sea. Are we gonna drown, think Jesus' mates? Is this really their fate? See, they're all freaking out. Meanwhile, Jesus is having shut-eye and he's out for the count. Waves thrashing, water rising, boat sinking. How's he kipped through this, Jesus' buddies are thinking.
Till, what's the problem, asks Jesus. What's all the fuss? Says shush to the storm, they're descending a hush.
Next, a new scene, but similar scenery. Pete and his buddies are rowing out at sea. They spot someone out there. They're all scared witless. Jesus walking on the water, doing the miraculous. At first they flip out, they fly off the handle, till Jesus says, "It's me," as he wrings out his sandal. Then gathered grievers, all mourning in masses, as a friend of Jesus called Lazarus passes, he dies. Jesus sees the brokenness and tears fill his eyes. I was suffering surrounding him, says Lazarus, rise. Then that bit in the story that fills us with dread, where Jesus gave up his life and lowered his head, where darkness descended, a perfect life savagely ended. Where's all his talk of the brokenness mended? Through love-gritted teeth, he proclaimed it is finished. And with one final cry out, he gave up his spirit. Then proof of the pudding that our Saviour had died, there gushed out blood water from a spear in his side. Then a tear in the temple curtain takes away the divide. His followers and friends must have been beside themselves. The hope of brokenness becoming mended with his death has just ended. Till everything gets upended. 3 days pass. And water flowed plenty from the tea ducts of Mary by the tomb that was empty. What's wrong, asks the gardener. Then imagine her surprise to notice not a gardener, just Jesus alive. He kicked off his mission with a water baptism. He lived and he died to free us from the prison of our sin and ourselves, all our shame and division. And it's paid for, it's dealt with because he is risen. Our mess has been buried. We can now be forgiven, our lives resurrected through Jesus who's risen. Through the 3-day baptism, we can emerge from the water to be part of Jesus' family as God's adopted son or daughter. So when we come to the perfect son who lifted the curse, he gives us living water that will forever quench our thirst.
Our final hymn this evening is How Deep the Father's Love for Us. Stuart Townend has written many, many modern worship songs and hymns, including perhaps his most well-known, In Christ Alone. However, the hymn How Deep the Father's Love for Us holds a special place in his heart. He states that he's concerned about the modern movement that is always seeking an experience in worship. He clearly states that he believes emotion is an important part of worship, but when that becomes our focus, we struggle. He said in an interview concerning writing How Deep the Father's Love for Us, "The danger now is that we are so focused on the experience of our worship, we can become self-seeking and self-serving. When all our songs are about how we feel and what we need, we're missing the point. There is a wonderful, omnipotent God who deserves our highest praise, and how we feel about it is in many ways irrelevant. I want to encourage the expression of joy, passion, and adoration, but I want those things to be the byproduct of us focusing on God. I don't want them to become the subject matter. I'm trying to write songs that refer us as little as possible about us and as much as possible to him." How Deep the Father's Love for Us was written in 1995 and is composed of 3 simple verses, but they teach the basis of our faith. They discuss not only the death and resurrection of Jesus, but also the love of God and sin of humankind. And it finishes with those wonderfully powerful words, "But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom." I'm not a very good predictor of the future, but I believe that this hymn will be with the church for a very long time to come. Thank you. I would just like to thank all those who have so beautifully led us this evening with our singing, and I know how much work and energy they put into their practicing, so thank you for that. Let's pray together. When we stand gazing upwards, bring us down to earth with the love of a friend, through the songs of the sorrowing, in the faces of the hungry. When we look to you for action, demand some work from us by your touch of fire, your glance of reprieve, your fearful longing. As ruler over all, love us into action, fire us with your zeal, enrich us with your grace to make us willing subjects of your rule.